Repairs, except what you could do for yourself, had to be sanctioned by remote committees, which were liable to hold up even the mending of a window pane for 2 years.
"Of course, it's only because Tom isn't home," said Mrs. Parsons vaguely.
The Parsons flat was bigger than Winston's, and dingy in a different way. Everything had a battered, trampled-on look, as though the place had just been visited by some large, violent animal. Games, impedimenta, hockey sticks, boxing gloves, a burst football, a pair of sweaty shorts turned inside out, lay all over the floor, and on the table there was a litter of dirty dishes and dog-eared exercise books. On the walls were scarlet banners of the Youth League and the Spies, and a full-size poster of Big Brother. There was the usual boiled cabbage smell, common to the whole building, but it was shot through by a sharper reek of sweat, which one knew this at the first sniff. Though it was hard to say how. Was the sweat of some person not present at the moment? In another room, someone with a comb and a piece of toilet paper was trying to keep in tune with the military music, which was still issuing from the telescreen.
"It's the children," said Mrs. Parsons, casting a half-apprehensive glance at the door. "They haven't been out today, and of course..."
She had a habit of breaking off her sentences in the middle. The kitchen sink was full nearly to the brim with filthy greenish water, which smelt worse than ever of cabbage. Winston knelt down and examined the angle joint of the pipe. He hated using his hands, and he hated bending down, which was always liable to start him coughing. Mrs. Parsons looked on helplessly.
"Of course, if Tom was home, he'd put it right in a moment," she said. "He loves anything like that. He's ever so good with his hands, Tom is."
Parsons was Winston's fellow employee at the Ministry of Truth. He was a fat-ish but active man of paralysing stupidity, a man of imbecile enthusiasms, one of those completely unquestioning devoted drudges on whom, more even than on the thought police, the stability of the party depended. At 35, he had just been unwillingly evicted from the Youth League, and before graduating into the Youth League, he had managed to stay on in the Spies for a year beyond the statutory age. At the ministry, he was employed in some subordinate post for which intelligence was not required, but on the other hand, he was a leading figure on the sports committee and all the other committees engaged in organising community hikes, spontaneous demonstrations, savings campaigns, and voluntary activities generally. He would inform you, with quiet pride, between whiffs of his pipe.